Thank you, Brother Cody. Thankful to be here today. I'm thankful for the hospitality that's been shown to my family as we've been here, and we try to do the same for those that visit Indiana or Michigan, and I hope we do a good job when you do visit us. And I feel kind of bad sometimes when I come here because you can't visit with everybody, and you're all special to us. We'd like to visit you, and it doesn't always work out. There's only so much time, and I know you feel the same way. We go to a reunion, and you just try to find time to talk to everybody. Maybe you'll miss a person, and then you feel bad for that. But I wish I could visit with each one of you. I've never been here in the winter before. This first time I've been here in December. It's always either been April or July, so it's a little different experience for me. It's cold. I didn't know for sure if it was cold here in Missouri, like in Indiana and Michigan, but yes, it does get cold, I found. And been looking at the Christmas lights. You travel across the country and you see things are done slightly differently. I've been looking at the lights on the houses, and a lot of them are custom. They're just the right length. There's nothing hanging off the gutters. It's a little bit messier in Indiana with the Christmas lights, I noticed. And the gas prices are quite a bit lower here, about a dollar lower than what they are in Indiana. We're paying about $3.50 in Indiana, so I'm a little envious of that. I was thinking, well, maybe we could drive out here, buy our gas, drive back to Indiana, and then drive back, you know, as we need to, and that seems to be the most economical thing for us to do. I'm looking forward to the music program this afternoon. I'm thankful that Brother David asked me to preach today. I've been thinking about it for quite some time. And we were here practicing yesterday for the music program, and I was thinking about this, and we've been talking, and I was thinking about, well, I've got three guitars. What guitar should I bring to play? I don't want to bring one that's not inappropriate. But this is a special spot, right? This is a special spot that we come here into the house of the Lord to worship. And I want to have the right attitude, realize that it's all about the Lord today when we're here. It's all about the Lord, and we need to focus on Him. When we lift up our voices with song, or as we listen to the words today, our hearts need to be on Him, and we need to give Him all the glory. I love Christmas. It's my favorite time of the year. It was a little bit different this year, because it seems like every year, Christmas gets here sooner and sooner, and life goes by faster and faster, and you know what I'm talking about. And I started to see Christmas lights right after the end of October. People are putting Christmas lights up on their houses, and I thought, we just had Christmas, it seems like, and here we go, we're having Christmas again. And so I've been thinking about this. I've been thinking about how fast life goes by, and we've had some deaths in the family this year, a couple deaths, and there's been deaths in recent years up in Michigan, and I think the older we get, the more thankful we are for this idea of eternal life that we have, and we see that our bodies break down and they age and we get older. I went to the eye doctor not too long ago, and I have my first floater here in my right eye. It's just a little speck, but I've got this floater. And I'm going to doctors that are younger than me now, which is a little bit different. I'm still in my mid-40s, but at the same time, you know, I am getting older like each one of you. Well, life goes by so fast, and so with the deaths that I've seen, with deaths that you've had in your family, I was thinking about this topic of eternal life, and I was thinking about, why do we do the things we do at Christmas? We have traditions that we do, and you know, whether you honor the day to the Lord or not honor the day to the Lord, you know, that's great, whatever you decide to do. But some of us do have traditions. I was looking at the wreaths that are hanging up here on the windows and the evergreens, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that today. But I was thinking about Christmas trees and lights, and you know, my daughters take time to set up the Christmas tree. I used to participate more than I do now. Now I'm kind of like the supervisor, I say. But they set up the Christmas tree, and so I'm looking at my Christmas tree in my living room, and I wonder, should we even have that there, and what does it mean to me? Why do we have this Christmas tree? Why are we putting up this synthetic thing in my house, or maybe you have a live tree? So I think if we're going to take the time to do these things, it needs to mean something. We need to do it in the perspective of the Lord. And that's what I wanted to talk about today. And I had the same message last week in Michigan, but I have updated it. I've added some scriptures, taken away some. I'm a Charlie Brown fan, and like I said, Christmas gets here sooner and sooner. This is the episode of the Easter Beagle Charlie Brown, and so they go in to buy some, I think it's coloring for Easter eggs or something like that, and they walk into the store, and it says only 246 days until Xmas, so, you know, Christmas. And so they find all these Christmas decorations, right? They're going in March or April, whatever it is, and they're finding Christmas decorations. Like I said, gets here earlier and earlier each year. Here's another one I found. Only 387 days until Christmas 2014 sale. And so I thought about this, 387 days, and it took me a second. Well, there's 365 days in a year, so they're planning two Christmases in advance here with these sales. And it's like there's not enough time to make the sales that they want to make to prepare for Christmas. Life goes by so fast that you have to start preparing 3 months ahead of time. I have an uncle, and he works in the candy business, or he did work in the candy business for Mars, I think. And he would always talk about, like, in the middle of the summer, they would be deciding what type of candy they want to offer around the holidays, the branding and that sort of thing. So here they are in the middle of the year preparing for Christmas. And it just goes to show how quickly life goes by, and how so a lot of times you need to prepare in advance. There's actually a name for this. It's called Christmas creep. I wasn't aware of this. It's in Wikipedia. It says, Christmas creep is a merchandising phenomenon in which merchants and retailers introduce Christmas-themed merchandise or decorations before the traditional start of the holiday shopping season, which in the United States is on the day after Thanksgiving. The term was first used in the mid-1980s. So there's actually a technical term, or a term that they've assigned to that's called Christmas creep. There's just the vendors, the companies, they don't think there's enough time to make the sales to do what they want to do unless they just put things out there earlier and earlier this year. I was thinking about the new year, how each new year gets here quicker and quicker. A lot of times we'll meet with our friends, get together with some friends in Indiana on New Year's Eve, and we go there, we have a good time, and as I drive home, I think, well, you know, a new year is upon us again. It seems like I was just doing this. I was just visiting with our friends and celebrating New Year's last year, and here it's another new year again. And we've got, what, like 3 weeks left or something like that this year, and then it's going to be a new year. Another new year is upon us, and life goes by so fast. I was thinking about driving to, and I apologize if you can't see these slides very well. I'm gonna talk to each one of these to help you out if you can't. But I was thinking about driving to Michigan and driving back, and it seems like I'm driving up there, and I think, well, I wonder how the day's gonna go, and before I know it, I'm driving back home on my way back to Indiana. You know, it just goes by like that. I think it's gonna be 5 years from now before I know it, and all of a sudden it's 5 years from now. I'm gonna be driving back to Indiana before you know it, just like that. Tomorrow I'm gonna be driving back to Indiana. This service is gonna be over just like that. It goes by so fast. And it gives you a perspective of how great God is, that he's infinite. And again, you start to appreciate eternal life more as you see how fast this life goes by. I have calendars from work. I save them. I'm kind of like a pack rat about my calendars. I've got a big file cabinet. So I have calendars at work that go all the way back to 1999. I save them every year. So I hear I can go up my file cabinet, take out these calendars. I've got all these days, all these years that I lived my life, the last 23 years, all here in my hand. It just went by just like that. So let's talk about some scriptures. Genesis 3, 22 to 24. You know, this is the account in the Garden of Eden, towards the end of Adam and Eve's time in the Garden of Eden. And this was after they partook of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and then the Lord kicked them out of the garden. It says, and the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil, and now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So after they partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, after they fell, the Lord was going to kick them out of the garden so they would not be able to partake of the tree of life anymore. And I was thinking about the stories that the so-called Fountain of Youth, right, and like Ponce de Leon. I don't know how true any of those stories are. There is no fountain of youth that you can partake of, right? This is the closest thing to it. This is real, this tree of life, but it's not around anymore as far as I know. And if it was, the Lord wouldn't grant us access to it. So there was a purpose in this to kick us out, for our bodies to break down and decay, and this life became a time of probation. And that's the way it is. Ecclesiastes 1:4, one generation passeth away and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. And that's what that's the way we think about things. We see people passing away. Pretty soon we won't be around anymore. I had a father-in-law that passed away this year, and I thought about that, and I drive around, I do what I do. We go on with life. He's not here anymore, but we go on with life. But yet his legacy still lives on. He served an important role, and we are still remembering what he did for us and the example he was to us. But his body, you know, his body, it broke down, it died. We have something better to look forward to. One of my daughters actually had a dream about him after he passed away. We saw him out driving a boat around with family members out on the lake, and he was young, he looked good, he had a sparkle in his eyes. His eyes were blue as the sky, she said, and I'm very thankful for that. I'm thankful that this is not the end. I'm thankful that we have more to look forward to. So the whole point of this is this idea of eternal life, we always need to remember it, and we can even remember it at this time of the year. James 4:13-15. I wanted to talk about evergreens and the Christmas tree here in a second, but I've got another verse or two before that, I think. This verse is a verse that a brother, Adam, up in Michigan, used to quote this verse, quite often, and he's no longer with us. James 4:13-15 says that, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanish away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. So we don't know. We don't know what tomorrow's going to be out. I had a brother-in-law that passed away this year. He's younger than me. I don't know how old he was when he passed. I don't remember. In his 30s, I think. But he passed away also. You know, just like that, he's gone. You just don't know. You have to always be prepared. You always have to be prepared to meet the Lord and be ready for that, because even if you're young, you don't know what tomorrow is going to be like. And when I was young, there were some things, ways I was living my life that weren't right, things I was doing in, I don't know, my early teenage years. And I always kind of wondered. I thought, well, if the Lord would return, where would I find myself? And it always kind of scared me until, you know, I got into trouble, and then after that I kind of turned my life around. But you never know. You never know. Psalm 23:4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And we've heard this verse many times. I've seen it many times. I see it on blankets that people maybe will send to the funeral home or at funerals. And, you know, I think about it, okay, but when you experience death, when you lose somebody that's close to you, a verse like this, I think, means more. We see death around us. We see people getting sick with illness. There's another brother in the church that was recently is having a struggle. And we see these things happening. I have somebody else in my family that's close to me that has cancer, and young, very young. But even so, let's have the right perspective. Let's remember that it's not all about this life. This is a time to prepare, but this life is just a speck. On the infinite timeline, you can't even see this life. And that's what we have to look forward to if we're ready, eternal life with the Lord. I think when we're younger, we think that I'm going to live forever. I'm healthy, nothing's going to happen, and we get older again, we see things start to happen with our bodies, and we start to think more about this topic of death. This was a quote I thought was good. It says, "A person's greatest possession is eternal life, exactly because it is more than a possession, the very existence. More than quantity, more than longevity, it is by nature the essence of being." Longevity is very important. You can have a long life in this life, but eternal life, it's the essence of being. And on the opposite end of the spectrum, you've got eternal life. Well, you also have eternal death, eternal spiritual death. And I think there's some verses about that here coming up. So we want to have eternal life. We do not want to have eternal death. The quality of life on earth begins with eternal life as the end goal. It's really the ultimate goal. That's why we're doing what we're doing. I mean, we're here to give praise to God, but at the same time, we want eternal life. I want to live forever. I want to live forever with the Lord. It's the end goal. Everything is wrapped up. The reason for Christ coming here to give life to us, eternal life, that is the end goal. Eternal life must be the ultimate goal. All else will fail and be destroyed. Only this will last. Get it, whatever it takes. Maybe you've seen this. We see it at sports events, that there'll be somebody holding up a sign that says John 3:16 in the back, whether it's behind home plate or behind the end zone. We see it in baseball. We see it in football. Almost looks like it's the same exact sign, like it's the same person traveling around to these events. Here's another one. This looks like the same sign, too. It's almost like it was edited in, but I think it's a real picture. This is a golfing event. You see John 3:16. You see a football players, they write it. Here's one I came across, John 3:7, at a soccer game. Well, that's different. John 3:7, it's the one about you must be born again. So I thought, well, that's neat. So this verse, John 3:16, it's used a lot in our world. It's used in Protestant circles, Catholic circles. We use it. Perhaps it's sometimes misused, this verse, John 3:16. But I think one of my daughters said it's their favorite verse. Well, that's great. It's all about eternal life. It's all about God's love for the world. Let's read John 3:14 through 16. You probably have it memorized, some of you. So this is the discussion that our Lord had with Nicodemus. It says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And so when we read a verse like this, I think we should be thankful for the love that God shows to us. If we're going to take the time to celebrate Christmas, I think it should be with a thankful heart, to give praise to our Lord, to our Father, that we have a merciful and loving God that we do, that sent his own Son into the world, that we can have eternal life. I hope this verse means something to you. You need balance. You need balance of mercy. You need balance of keeping the commandments. This is the principles of the gospel, what we shouldn't be doing, but you got to remember the love that God has for us. I think I heard a verse in Sunday school today. Somebody mentioned it about Nephi. in the Book of Mormon. You know, why should I be so disappointed and upset? You know, I'm a terrible man. I've got all these temptations, and I'm bogged down with all these things. But, you know, I'm thankful for God. I'm thankful for his mercy. And he says, I'm thankful for his grace. He used that term grace, too. And grace is a misused word as well today. But Nephi was thankful even for that, for grace. I shouldn't have closed my Bible. John 5:39. So if we just move forward a little bit here. There's all kinds of verses I could have used about eternal life, and there were some good ones here in John, and so I just kind of stuck with that. So John 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are which testify of me. So here the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were doing things, but they didn't understand the purpose of it. It was not in the perspective of Jesus Christ. With him as the Messiah. And so there's people that have searched out the scriptures for eternal life, but some people, you know, we don't always do it the right way. Maybe we're not doing what the Lord says, but we have a goal. We all have a goal of eternal life. But that is the ultimate purpose, again, for the scriptures, to give praise to God, to do his will, what he asks of us, so that the world might have eternal life. And then just a little one more verse in John 17:3. I've heard stories about people in the church that have had dreams that have helped them in their ministry. They've had dreams where they've seen hell and they've seen paradise. And they thought, I would never want anybody to go to hell. You know, how much worse if it was eternal death or eternal spiritual death. And it has been a main motivation for them that they saw this. I remember his brother Nicholas Denham, he had an experience where he saw paradise and then the curtains were shut. And he said he also saw that other place. And he said, I wouldn't want my worst enemy to experience that. It says, and this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. This is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. If we know the Lord, if we know who he is, if we know his teachings and understand him, that is eternal life. That's what it's all about. We are not made for endings, but new and everlasting beginnings. This is another quote I came across that I really liked. Obviously, we're preparing for the ending in this life, but it's not... It goes beyond that. We're really preparing for the future. We're preparing for new and everlasting beginnings. And that gives me joy. It gives me hope that there's more after the grave. Here's a picture of a Sears catalog from 1970, it says here. And I remember when I was a kid, I would get the Sears catalog, JCPenney catalog in the mail. I'd start making out a Christmas list. I'm sure you all did that too, maybe as kids, or a lot of you. Make out a Christmas list, going through that catalog. We don't receive those catalogs anymore. It's a little bit different. But here's this girl looking at this Christmas tree. So I'm thinking about this Christmas tree. Why a Christmas tree? Why are there wreaths hung up here in the windows and on the lights? Why are these evergreens hung up like that? Why do we do that? And I know there's different opinions, and you can go back in time, and there's some secular traditions and or pagan traditions, et cetera, but I think the world in general, at least in the United States, got it right and changed something that was maybe secular into something that it gives glory to God. So I wanted to talk about this Christmas tree. I've got some pictures of Christmas trees from over the years. This is an old one back in the 30s or 40s or something. So they've changed in styles, and I've looked at some of the Christmas trees that I've seen at brothers and sisters' homes. I like to look at them. I like to look at the ornaments. Here's another picture of a Christmas tree. It's got frosting all over it, some type of spray. It's all white. Now here's one that's got tinsel, right? The shiny tinsel all over it. I don't know when this is from, late 50s or 60s probably. Ornament styles have changed a little bit. Here's a tree. It doesn't look very good to me, but I don't, maybe you have a tree that looks like this. I'm not sure. It doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't matter what it looks like. It's what was your heart? Does it bring joy to your heart, even if you got a tree that looks like this? Are you focused on the Lord at Christmas? Maybe that's all you have access to. Maybe you can't even afford to go out and buy a tree or get a synthetic tree. Maybe you've got some tree out in your yard and you go cut it down because you want to use that to bring honor to our Lord, and that's great. And of course, we've got the Charlie Brown shiny aluminum Christmas tree and the Charlie Brown tree. I don't think I've ever seen a shiny aluminum Christmas tree. I don't know. Has anybody seen a shiny aluminum Christmas tree besides Charlie Brown? Okay, some of you have. This is a fiber optic tree, right? The styles have changed. I don't know if any of you have fiber optics on your tree. If you have a tree, and again, if you decide you don't want a tree and honor the Lord that way, that's fine. That's great. I think if you don't have a tree, you can also do it to bring honor to God. Here's a tree out in outside in the winter. There's snow all over it. Very pretty. Here's another one. Here's a picture of branches on a tree from, excuse me, from probably around the, probably in the 70s or 80s, maybe early 80s. And I remember as a kid, I'd go over to my grandmother's house. I never knew my grandfather on that side of the family. He had passed away before I was born. But I remember just being mesmerized by her tree and the ornaments she had on it. I mean, that was a really neat thing. Some of them looked like a disco ball. They had like glass mirrors all over and the light would shine off of them. It'd be kind of neat to, you know, have like a 1970s or 80s Christmas tree with those style of light ornaments today. So I thought, well, let me learn about the Christmas tree. You know, again, some of this may, this is something that society or our world has come up with for giving some type of value or metaphor to the Christmas tree and evergreens. And it says, evergreens are immortal, and because of Jesus, so are we. The evergreen, as the name suggests, stays green all throughout the year, even during the winter. When every other tree and plant dies, it remains alive, defying the dreary, chilly weather and bringing color to an otherwise dark world. So every Christmas, when we put up an evergreen tree in our homes, we are acknowledging the eternal life we have because of Jesus. After all, when the King of Kings and Lord of Lords took on the form of a baby, he began the work of salvation, a divine work that would ultimately reconcile us to God and give us eternal life in the kingdom of heaven. The Christmas tree thus represents the promise of heaven. It serves to remind us of the everlasting hope we have because of Jesus, who willingly died so that we can live for eternity. So we don't want to make the tree, Christmas tree, an idol, right? I know there's a verse in scripture, I think it's in Jeremiah, about putting like a tree down or something, staking it to the floor. We don't want to make the Christmas tree an idol. But if you're going to have a Christmas tree, if you're going to, you know, if you're going to have evergreens and take the time, let's remember the spiritual things. Maybe it's not even eternal life. Maybe it's some other spiritual aspect when you see a Christmas tree. But so I've been looking at this Christmas tree in my home, and I've been thinking about that. I've been thinking about eternal life, that with the deaths that we had in our family this year, that's not the end. It's not the end. That there is eternal life. That we can be someplace better when we leave this life. I've been thinking about that more. Even though Christmas came so soon this year, I haven't really been able to get into it like maybe previous years. I'm remembering the spiritual things. And it's helped me. I went into Lowe's a couple weeks ago. I needed to get some lights, and so I walk in there and I see these trees everywhere. I mean, you can go in Lowe's, they've got all kinds of stuff. Other stores have all kinds of stuff. You can get whatever you want to put in your home that's Christmas related, put up all kinds of stuff, and then you got to take it all down, which I don't like taking all that stuff down. But I went into Lowe's and I'm looking at these trees when I walk in the door, and it kind of meant something more to me because I was just focused on Christ and eternal life, and that we have more to look forward to, and this isn't the end, right? Christ is going to return. He's going to reign for 1,000 years. You know, he's going to be like out here, right? I believe on this special piece of ground, and we'll be with him forever. 1 Corinthians 15:51 to 55. This is a verse that was used at my father-in-law's funeral. It says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" And I'm just going to move on to the next verse. It talks about the same thing. Mosiah 8, 79 to 81. Was that? I was trying to get the page number here. 79 to 81. Looks like two. No, that's not right. 255. Thanks. Page 255. Mosiah 8:79 to 81. It says, "And now, if Christ had not come into the world, speaking of things to come, as though they had already come, there could have been no redemption. And if Christ had not raised from the dead or have broken the bands of death, that the grave could have no victory, and that death should have no sting, there could be been no resurrection. But there is a resurrection, therefore the grave hath no victory, and the sting of death is swallowed up in Christ." So we see the same description or explanation used here, discussion about death and the grave, that it should have no victory. And like note 6 down there, the bottom in our Book of Mormon says 1 Corinthians 15. You know, these notes are very helpful. I wish I had more notes in my Bible that pointed me back to the Book of Mormon like I do Book of Mormon to the Bible. I think that would be a good project for somebody to do. But anyways, it talks about victory, it talks about death, that would have no sting. The grave should have no victory. And I've read this verse so many times in the passage in 1 Corinthians, but when you lose people that you love, when there's death around you, this really means more. When you get older and you realize that one day you're going to leave this life, this victory that it talks about, Jesus, where he obtained victory over death and the grave. It doesn't it say in Revelation, I think it says hell and death will be thrown into the lake of fire, I think. We have victory, right? There's a song, Victory in Jesus. We have victory over the grave. We have victory over death because of what the Lord did for us. Let's always be thankful for that. When we lose loved ones, when people pass away, Where would we be without this? It would be terrible. It's terrible, right? If we don't have anything after this life. And John 11:25-26 says, "Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" So this is, our Lord was having a discussion with this woman. Do you believe in a resurrection? It says, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That doesn't make any sense. Though he were dead, yet shall he live. You know, if you were hearing this message for the first time, you'd have a hard time understanding that, because we don't really understand the scriptures and the metaphors and what it really means. So the Lord is explaining this to this woman, but even though we're dead, we shall live. Even though our loved ones who were in Christ, that when they died, they live. And it says in the John 3:16 verse we read, that they shall not perish but have eternal life. Well, isn't that what happens when we die, that our bodies perish? But it says that they shall not perish, but they shall have eternal life. So even though we face death, our souls are not going to perish. We're going to have eternal life. This is a verse that we see used at Christmas time, Isaiah 9:6-7. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So let's just go back one here. So we're remembering the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord's going to return. He's going to reign. He's going to reign here. He's going to be over in the old Jerusalem. The government is not going to have any end. He's going to be wonderful. You know, let's walk up. Let's go up to the house of the Lord. Somebody's going to be down here, lower level nation. They're going to walk up here to the house of the Lord. And he's going to reign. He's everlasting. There's going to be great peace in the world. His government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David. And we can partake in that. We can do a duty for the Lord even after this life. And there was a message that I did a while ago. It was about the millennium. What will the millennium be like in the future? It talks about we're going to build houses. We're going to do various things. We're going to still enjoy life, I believe. But yet we're going to be appointed by the Lord as judges, right? And we're going to help him out and assist him with the things that need to be taken care of. And this gospel is going to go out. I put this in here because we were driving out here, and Kelly pointed it out along the road. There's a sign that said, if you die today, where would you spend eternity? I think it said something else, like, do you know Jesus Christ or something? So I thought that was suitable to reference that in this message today. You know, we should be thankful when people put signs up in this. I don't know, did somebody spend any money on this billboard? Probably not. It was probably just something they built themselves. But, you know, there's companies that will purchase billboards and they'll put things up about Christianity and salvation. I'm very thankful for that. 1 Nephi 7:40, therefore cheer up your hearts and remember that you are free to act for yourselves, to choose the way of everlasting death or the way of eternal life. So not only is there eternal life, right? We see all these signs up at football games, wherever it might be, John 3:16, but there's also should be another sign about everlasting death. I don't think I have too much more, but 2 Nephi 6:73-74. Page 110. O my beloved brethren, remember the awfulness in transgressing against the holy God, and also the awfulness of yielding to the enticings of that cunning one. Remember, to be carnally minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is life eternal. And I know it's not always easy to be spiritually minded with the world around us, with the things that we might do, or things that are really bad that we might be tempted to do. We have to focus on the spiritual things. We have to be spiritually minded, right? This is a warning. If we're not spiritually minded, then we're not going to be able to partake of eternal life. This is a verse from Hark the Herald Angels Sing. I was thinking about just some Christmas hymns. It says, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. So you see this theme You know, we talk about Christmas, we talk about the shepherds and the wise men and the star, all kinds of different things. But let's not forget eternal life. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, right? I mean, that's the greatest gift, right? It's the greatest gift of all. And it says you're more blessed to give than receive, or it's even greater to give than receive. There's so much truth to that. If you give Christmas presents at this time of the year, you'll find that as you get older, it's not about you. If you have the right attitude on your heart, you want to give gifts, special gifts to other people, and that ends up meaning more than us receiving something. 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18. Some second to last slide. 2 Corinthians 4:16 to 18. It says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outer man perish, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. Right? That's the inner man, the soul, the eternal life that we can be granted. For a light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And again, we live this life. We face death. We see the temporal things. But we need to focus on the things that we don't see, the things that are eternal. I know there's a saying or a phrase, don't focus on the horizontal. I mean, you need to focus on your brothers and sisters and doing what you should in the world, definitely. But, you know, think of the vertical also, right? It shouldn't be, your focus shouldn't be entirely on the horizontal, on this world, but you need to think of the vertical as well. Revelation 22, 1 through 4, 13 through 14. I think this is the last passage. So, we talked about the tree of life at the beginning in Genesis, and then we talk about it again at the very end in Revelation. I need to study this more, and maybe you have, but it portrays it in a different manner. It talks about the healing of the nations here, but it's Revelation 22, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and of either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. So here we see the tree of life and the kingdom of God in the future. See the throne of God. And the fruits are for the healing of the nations. If you're going to obtain eternal life, I believe you're going to be able to partake of this fruit. And I didn't even talk about the Tree of Life in the Book of Mormon. We could have talked about that. And the fruit, I think it says it represents the love of God. And, you know, they partook of that, and it brought great joy to those that did, Nephi, and those in his family that did. Eternal life, this truth of eternal life, should bring great joy to us, or will bring great joy to us if we obtain it. And then verse 13 to 14, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, but they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. So it says here, they do his commandments, may have right to the tree of life. Right? It's not all about John 3:16. It's all not all about this verse or that verse. We need to do his commandments also, that they may have right to the tree of life. So if I am going to take time to put Christmas lights on my house, or have somebody else do it, or put a tree up on my house, or decorate my house. I want it to mean something. And I hope if you do the same, it means something to you. If you celebrate this season in any way to the Lord, make it mean something, right? Have the right perspective. Remember eternal life. If you're going to put a Christmas tree up, or if you look out here at these evergreens, think of eternal life or think of something spiritual. So here's a verse, talks about eternal life. I don't think this is King James, unfortunately. I think this might be maybe NIV or something. But it says, "And this is the testimony, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son," John 5:11. And so I think about the birth of Christ. I think about him coming to the world. Talks about tidings of great joy, right? I really love the passage in Luke 2 about tidings of great joy to be to all people. In the Book of Mormon, that phrase, tidings of great joy, I looked it up, is used 5 times in the Book of Mormon. So, like, I grew up with the Bible, I didn't grow up with the Book of Mormon, but I find that same tidings of great joy 5 times in the Book of Mormon, which I think is really neat. But this picture here, eternal life and the Christmas message, it's all blended together. And so let's remember that. Let's take joy in that, and let's always remember the Lord. Let's be reverent. Let's remember him in everything we do. So I'm going to close. I'm looking forward to the Christmas service today, later today, and I'm thankful for each one of you and the gifts that God has given his church. But I'm most of all thankful for the Lord, and we should want to give honor to the Lord in everything we do. Everything we do. And remember what he's done for us. So I thank you for your time.